Father, I ask you to bless the reading of your word today. That you bless your people as they come to worship. Father, that you just open our hearts and minds that before we leave today, if we never have, we would experience your grace. Thank you for this day. Praise to your holy name. Amen.
The reason I wanted that church covenant read as I read that Sunday night try not to get too emotional. It's kind of going to be an emotional message for me today. But I stood there and read it a couple of times, and the thought came to my mind, I need to repent. And then I looked over and I read those Ten Commandments. I said, Lord, I need to repent. Because I have not lived according to this covenant that we call a church covenant. An agreement. Just so you know, the church covenant that we have on our wall was written in 1833. It was developed in the church covenant by the New Hampshire Baptist Convention and was published in pamphlet form in 1833. This is the covenant of most Baptist churches. Wonder what it would be like if somebody joined the church and would give them a copy. Said, you know, this is our covenant. Okay. And along with it, gave them a copy of the Ten Commandments. Said, that's God's covenant. Okay. You know, I've never... just a few times when I have tried to preach, and I'll be the first to say I am not worthy to be standing here. Told Brother Joel earlier today that both my knees were knocking. I think I've always told y'all this about every time I get here. One saying, don't leave me here, and one saying, let's go. But when you listen to that song we listened to, Amazing Grace is still number one. Now the writer or the singer of the song may be talking about the song itself. That the song, Amazing Grace, is still number one. Now you may have, I know some of you got other favorite songs and it's not Amazing Grace. And that's okay, but just work with me today, okay? But the thing that I want us to look at this morning is just the fact that amazing grace, just God's grace, is number one. You know, everything, and this is not, don't misunderstand me, this is not to take away from any other thing in this book, but it's because of God's grace that everything else is in this book. I started out to say it very seldom if I ask somebody to use a certain song when I'm going to preach or back years ago when I pastored, and I didn't this morning. But it's just amazing, isn't it, how God works. Even when we're not expecting Him. Even when we think He's not looking. Okay? It's amazing how God's works. And those songs that Brother Randy used this morning. And Will was playing, it's well with my soul. Is it well with your soul? If it is, it's because of this grace that God gives us freely. Even if you're a Christian, God's grace can continually working, okay? Because we, even as Christians, make mistakes, okay? Sometimes, you may not like this word, but sometimes we act like heathens, okay? Y'all might not can believe it, but I've done that. But you know, it's just God's grace that keeps working in us. And I know we just got a few minutes, but there's four things, and we're going to move along, that we're going to see about that's related to this song that we just listened to. First, amazing grace is number one. Second, we're going to look at the good news that's still worth hearing. You know, the good news, the gospel, is still worth hearing. Somebody needs to hear it. And somebody needs to tell it. So, the good news is still worth hearing. I'm glad God sent His Son. Are you glad God sent His Son today?
Amen.
Amen. I'm glad He came. I'm glad God sent His Son. And the last thing is it connects God's heart to men. Okay? Now, Will played "It Is Well With My Soul." And then Brother Randy sang, oh, it's slipping my mind, the next song.
At Calvary.
Because He lives. That's what I was looking for. It's well with my soul because He lives. Okay, now we'll get started. For some reason, I got a frog in my throat. Maybe he'll jump out. excuse me. Romans 5, 17 through 20. As I was preparing, every time I started reading these verses, you know, I'm glad God saves sinful men and He shows us stuff, because as I would start reading these, you know, it just made chills come on me sometimes. Romans 5, beginning with verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. This is the law, God's law, the Ten Commandments. But when the law came, Paul said, it told me I was a sinner. It told me I was lost. It told me I needed to repent. But by that one man, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. I'm going to have to move along over some of this, but do you believe God is gracious? Amen. I believe God's gracious. Do you believe God hates sin? In Proverbs 6, 16 through 19, it gives a list of things there that God hates. And it says, seven are abomination to Him that God hates. You might want to turn over there sometime and read them. Not now, because we're going to move along. But an abomination, I looked that up. I like to look things up. Something disgusting. Something disgusting. Something that we don't like. To be gracious, when someone is gracious to another person, I'll get this exactly the way it's written down here. When someone does something for someone else who cannot in any way, no hope at all, to repay the favor. When somebody is gracious, Have you ever heard somebody say, that's a gracious person? You know, it's kind of what God did for us. He was gracious. You know, if we could just grasp God's grace, it would blow our minds. If we could just really get a hold of what God's grace means, it would just blow us away. You know, as I was studying this, you know, Satan tries to bring all of our past back, everything we've ever done. You know, he tries to bring it back. But I'm glad of that blood, because that blood covers it all up. You know, but God says, I forgive you. It's over. It's done with. It's finished. Don't worry about it. Give Sunday school another plug. You know, come Sunday school. You know, you learn things at Sunday school. In our Sunday school class not long ago, we was talking about grace. And, well, I say not long ago. It might have been several weeks. But we talked about these things. Sin, we was talking about grace. Sin is a stream. God's grace is an ocean. That's how it works. Did you hear what the verse said? Where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying, but you know, you could take these Ten Commandments in that church covenant and intentionally break everything in them. Do everything wrong that you can imagine to do. God still forgive you. You know, not that we would want to, but God would still forgive us. Where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. It means just God is so great. God is so awesome. You know, people like to use that word awesome. You know, there's nothing awesome to me but God. You know what I mean? I see things that I think are cool. But God is awesome. Just the way he does things. Sin is a mountain peak. Grace is the flood of Noah's day. Sin is the prodigal son who took his inheritance and went out and lived in a manner that the Bible calls riotous living. He wasted his substance. He lived in excess with no morals. That's what that means. He just partied. Anything he wanted to do, he did it. So sin is the prodigal son wasting what his father had prepared for him. But grace, got to catch myself for a minute. But grace is the father standing, waiting for his return. And the Bible says a long way off, he saw him. No, God is looking for you. If you're a sinner and you don't know him, God's looking for you. He's waiting. He's excited. He's just sitting there waiting for you to come. Christian, maybe we've been living in a way we shouldn't be living. Last Sunday night in our service, Brother Greg and Bill, can't think of his last name. Hi. Got into a discussion about D.L. Moody. And so it goes that D.L. Moody was hearing a preacher preach, and the preacher was preaching that if just one person would sell out to God, what a great work God could do. And the story goes on that D.L. Moody got home that night and he said, I'm going to be that person. And he did. One of the greatest evangelists that ever lived. Because he put everything into evangelism. Winning people over to Jesus. Well, we threw the first point. I just thought I'd throw that in there. Second, the good news is still worth hearing. There's people out there who needs to still hear. Is there anybody that wants to hear? The good news, the Bible says, is the gospel, that Jesus came and he washed away our sins and you can be saved through faith in him. If you really want to learn all about the story, and maybe you have already before, but just start at the first chapter of Matthew and read all the way through the book of John. What are those called, those first four books? The Gospels, the good news, the testimony. The singers sing about a story and a testimony. The good news. So the good news is still worth hearing. There's people that need to hear it. Are we willing to tell them? I want you to think of the most godly person other than Jesus Christ that you can think of. Who is the most godly person you think you've ever known? Or in the Bible? Could it be Abraham?
God.
God, okay. Could it have been Abraham? He was willing to sacrifice his son. The most godly person. But you know they were still sinning. Still needed God's grace. Still needed to be saved. Now I want you to think about the meanest person you've ever known. The most ungodly, meanest person that you've ever known. The most sinningest person you've ever known. How about in the Bible? How about the Apostle Paul? He went out there and killed those Christians. Persecuted God's church. But God still saved him and he used him. Listen what he told him. Over in Acts 26, God called Paul out and he struck him down with a bright light and he told him, he said, it is hard for you to kick against the pricks. I wanted to know what that was. I've read that a lot. What is the pricks? So I researched it. In biblical times, it was a great long wooden stick. Had a piece of steel on the end of it with sharp points. When they wanted the ox to go somewhere, they prick him. Get up. Kind of like cattle prong, I guess. You folks that's got cows. You stick him, and the ox would kick his leg back. Kick against it. It just go deeper. God told Paul, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. It's hard to resist when God is calling you. And it's that gnawing thing that's down on the inside. It's that gnawing thing that's like down in your heart. And God's Holy Spirit is dealing with you. And he's saying, come on, today's the day. Today's your day. Come on. It's that thing, Christians, when we're not acting like a Christian. And we're not behaving like a Christian. And God is gnawing at us. He said, you need to get right. It's that gnawing thing that keeps pricking us. And of course, Paul surrendered. He said, what would you have me to do, Lord? You know, it doesn't matter if you're kicking against the pricks. I say it does matter. I say it don't matter, but it does. But the phrase I want to say there is, it doesn't matter if you're kicking against the pricks, if you have lived like the prodigal son, or if you've always been in church. You know this book from front to back. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and said, Lord, I believe that you are the Son of God, and you put your blood down, I want to be a part of that band. I believe that you laid your blood down and you covered my sin and I want to be saved. Third thing. See, we're moving along. I'm glad God sent his son. Because there was no way. No way. You see, that's what God set these Ten Commandments up for. If you go over there and read in the New Testament, Paul wrote and he said, the commandment that was for good, meaning that God set up those commandments that the children of Israel would live for Him and be a witness for Him and show all the world their great God. But Paul said the commandment that was intended to be good showed me that I was lost. I was a sinner. I couldn't keep that law. I couldn't keep from not killing. I couldn't honor my father and mother like I should. I couldn't keep the Sabbath day holy. We could go on and on. I couldn't keep from bearing false witness. I couldn't keep from coveting. But where grace did abound, where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. What that verse says, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came. I'm glad God sent His Son. I'm glad God sent His Son. 1 John 4:9-10. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. And if you just flip back a couple of pages to John 2:1-2, it says, my little children, these things I write unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. He is our atonement. Oh, I'm glad God sent His Son. He satisfied God's demand that sin be punished. And He is our advocate and our sacrifice. Listen to this. Atoning sacrifice. The punishment due us for our sin, Christ satisfied God's just demand that sin be punished. Thus, Jesus is both the advocate and the sacrifice. The sacrifice for all our sins. I'm glad God sent His Son. We hear a lot today about this song, If You Could Only Imagine, made a movie. The New Testament says that Jesus is in the presence of God on our behalf. That He's there making intercession for us. Can you imagine? You know, the song says, if you could only imagine. Well, could you imagine with me for a minute that Jesus Christ is sitting at the right hand of God and He is making intercession for us? That means when I mess up, God, Jesus is making intercession for me. If you're lost and you're not a Christian, Christ is sitting there. Lord, give them one more day. Let them hear one more message, one more song, one more person to witness to them. When we're not living like a Christian lives, Christ is making intercession for us. When Satan is saying, You're not worthy of being a Christian. Look at all the things you've done. And he says that word. You acted like a heathen. You've lied. You stole. You've caroused. You've drove too fast down the interstate. I'll make sure y'all's awake. You know, when Satan's trying to tell you all those things, Jesus is saying, doesn't matter. I mean, it matters, but Jesus is saying, I forgive you. God's saying, I forgive you. Come and get some of this amazing grace. Amazing grace. How sweet the same. Now, that gets us down to our very last thing. We're not too far behind. It connects God's heart to men. What do you love in this world more than anything else? What is the one thing you love more than anything else? Car? Home? I heard a person say, not long ago, I believe in a higher power. Money. What does the Bible say? For the love of money, root of all evil. Have you ever been around folks and they got talking about what all they got? Okay. I got this. I got that. I got two of them. Well, I got two, but I'm going to get another, and so I'll have three. What do we love more than anything else? More than anything. Do we love God? God loves you most. The Bible says even the hairs of your head are numbered. God loves you most. You know, more than everything God created. More than everything. More than anything that God created, He loved man the most. Because it says over in Genesis chapter 1, let's create man in our image. God loves you more than anything. You can put your name in there if you want to. God loves whatever your name is. God loves me more than anything else. Because you see what the verse read, that we read a while ago? He's not only the sacrifice for our sin, but for the sin of the whole world. So God loves you most. That's sweet, isn't it? And it soothes man's heart. Have you thought about that? When you think about that amazing grace, we're about done. When you think about that amazing grace that God has for us, does it soothe you? You know, when the devil's trying to torment you and he's trying to tell you about all the mistakes you've made, you ever think about, yeah, but I got that grace. I got the blood. I'm covered. Just sit back here and take it easy for me. Think about this. God's got me covered. Soothing. I heard a person say not long ago their favorite time of the day was in the morning. They like to go out early in the morning. This is getting daylight. They like to drink coffee and sit around and listen to the birds, whatever else was going on.
Soothing. Soothing.
Song said it soothes the heart of man. It connects us to the heart of God. Two-way street.
Connects us to God. It gives us a soothing.
It gives us comfort. Well, brings us down to the last thing. It's amazing grace. If you don't got it, you can get it. I don't know if that's good English or not. But if you don't got it, you can get it. All you got to do is just say, yes, Lord, I believe. I believe you're Lord. And I believe you love me. I believe in Easter. I believe that Christ went on that cross. And he shed his blood so that I could be saved. May not always get it right. But that's the grace, the great thing about the amazing grace. Is God is Jesus is still there on our behalf. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Pray you bless the reading of your word. Lord, if there's someone here who has not experienced this grace, Lord, if they've never said, save me, prick their hearts today and their minds, gnaw at them, Lord. Help them to see. There's those of us Christians that, Lord, we know we haven't been doing what we should be doing. We haven't been telling people. Lord, if we really believe what we say as Christians, that there's a heaven and there's a hell, and that Jesus can save our souls, we should be telling everybody we see about this grace, about your love and mercy. Lord, speak to our hearts today. Thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for Jesus. It's in his name we pray.